always have time to sit and listen.
That's why Pensacola Right Now works the way it does.
Every few minutes, you get the latest local news, traffic on the fives, weather, and updates you actually need. So whether you're in the car for 5 minutes or 50, you're always caught up. Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin.
Weekdays 4 to 7.
On News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Much of the rules in terms of the times and the ages are the what already comes from the state's statute that needs to be codified for us to be able to enforce. And that is if you're under the age of 18, you can be out until 11 p.m. on weeknights and midnight on weekends. It will be citywide and it will be year-round. All penalties are going to be civil, not criminal. And there are penalties for parents and guardians that are built into the ordinance.
So we did have a chance to talk with D.C. Reeves yesterday, the mayor of Pensacola, about the curfew and some broad strokes. But in the press conference yesterday, he got into more of the details, which I also have had a chance to read the actual proposed ordinance. It's fairly interesting because there's a lot of detail in this, and it's details of things that you might not have thought needed to be detailed, but they do because some of the questions and the exceptions that come up, you say, well, what about this? I mean, you know, what if a teenager is dealing with an emergency? I mean, somebody breaks a leg, you know, mom or dad breaks a leg at 2 a.m. I don't know what they're doing. You don't need to ask these questions. But, you know, somebody gets in trouble at 2 a.m. and the teenager needs to drive them to the hospital. Is that legal? Yes, you make an exception for that. You know, what happens if they're going to work? Well, you make an exception for that. You know, what if they are an emancipated minor? Wait, why would we need? Because an emancipated person has to be able to do their business and, you know, function as an adult. That's what it means to be emancipated. So, again, if a 17-year-old needs to go to the hospital or go to the police station or, you know, has an emergency in the middle of the night, the baby's crying, they need to take them to urgent care. You don't want to make it illegal for the 17-year-old living on their own without a supervising adult because they are the supervising adult to not be able to do that. So these are all very smart exceptions built into this. The whole purpose is public safety. The whole idea is we have minors who are creating problems by being out late at night. And this is very much a late at night ordinance. It's 11 to 5 on the weeknights, and then it's midnight to 6 on the weekends that a minor cannot be out and about. But again, there's all kinds of provisions. For example, if you're married, you're an adult. So, you know, if you're married at 16, you know, or 17, this does not apply to you. If you're accompanied by an adult, that's an obvious one, of course. If you're trying to respond to an emergency, especially with a parent's permission, then it's allowed. If you're traveling to and from an activity involving the exercise of rights protected under the First Amendment, you say, what now? I mean, yeah, if you're going to a 3 a.m. church rave, you know, I mean, it's a revival at 3 a.m., we're going to make a carve-out for that. Why? Because we don't want to find ourselves in the awkward position of restricting people's religious liberty under the guise of trying to protect public safety, right? And that's actually, now I don't know, but I assume it's not just religious liberty that would be in here, but it would also be, I suppose, a protest at 1 a.m.? You start calling your rave a protest, you know, come to the protest rave at the warehouse. I mean, I don't know, but I'm kind of questioning about that. If you're going to and from a job, that's a part of it. If you're going to and from a specific school-sponsored function, civic organization, again, with permission from a parent and accompanied by an adult, that's kind of the idea. If you're on your own property, perfectly allowed, on a neighbor's property, engage in interstate or intrastate travel with the consent of the minor's parent. You know, if you have a note, that's kind of one of the themes here, basically. Attending an organized event held at and sponsored by a theme park or entertainment complex. I have no idea why that one's in here because I don't know how that would apply. But if you're going to, I guess Sam's is closed now. What's the other one? I can't think of it off the top of my head, W Street there. If you're going to Wawa or something, I guess it's allowed. I don't know. But then you have the question of, okay, but what if my minor child is out kind of without my consent because they're a runaway? If the parents are going to be responsible for child's behavior, what if they've run away from home and they get in trouble? Well, there's actually a carve out here that if you have reported them as a runaway, then the penalties for the parent do not apply to you. So, well, what are the penalties for the adults? Well, okay, Mayor explained it yesterday.
On the penalty side, first violation is a written warning for both minors and parents. Second violation is a civil infraction. Minors fined $100, parents and guardians fined $250. And a third and subsequent violations would be minors fined $250, parents and guardians fined $500 per violation.
So for kids, it's warning $100, $250. For adults, it's warning $250, $500. I guess the premise is that adults, $100 doesn't matter that much to them. Maybe $250 would. That kind of a theory. But I like the idea of bringing parental accountability into all of this. You know, telling them they gotta doesn't mean a lot. Penalizing the kids may not mean a lot to them, but, you know, pocketbooks talk, right?
And parental responsibility is going to be part of this ordinance as well. This is not we're not looking for a way to criminalize teenagers who are out after dark, but it's an effort to support public safety, of course, and ensure that teens are out after dark have a responsible adult who knows where they are.
Right. I mean, let's make both parties to this situation become responsible. Then the mayor did a really good job, I thought, of addressing some of the questions that people are likely to have. And we'll talk about this in just a second. But PJ has traffic on the fives.
Travis brought to you by Barbary Plumbing. When it's time to call a plumber, call the Best of the Bay winner, Barbary, 477-8782. Taking a look at the big board, still working that vehicle crash, North Cross Lane at North Davis Highway. No roadblock associated with that one. Also have a vehicle crash and injuries, Dog Track Road at Alaron Avenue. Roadblock there. Use caution. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. Back to the proposed curfew the city of Pensacola is going to look at the agenda conference on Monday, the regular meeting on Thursday of next week. And I think one kind of a very understandable misconception that people might have about this, and it would lead to objections, is this is all a result of that shooting that took place early morning on the 5th of July as a follow-on to the 4th of July festivities the night before. But I don't understand, because it was all adults involved in that except the one allegation for the charges that were actually ultimately dropped against the juvenile who is alleged to have supplied the gun to the person who, engaged in the first shot, allegedly. Okay, fair point. But remember what I said at the time, and you may not, and that's okay, but it's my job to remind you. At the time, I said, one of the things I think is going to happen is we're going to tend to think that a curfew is going to prevent shootings. And, it may not. But the shooting was not the only thing that took place that day. The night before, you had all these teenagers, lots of teenagers running around downtown. And remember, they were all like throwing fireworks at each other, throwing these, the mortar style fireworks, like really bad stuff. Several hundred teenagers apparently downtown, and lots of arrests, or a number of arrests, a lot of, engagements, right? And we had the thing at the Cordova Mall, and there's been other things out at Pensacola Beach, which, of course, is not in the city. But the concern is about teenage behavior in general, and, take some responsibility for your kids and keep them at home. They shouldn't be out so late. Now, I will tell you, for my part, I actually think if that's the problem you're trying to solve, 11 o'clock and midnight are not the right time frames. Now, I know they're mirroring state statute, but, I don't think that a lot of those things are happening. The Cordova Mall is not even happening after 7 o'clock, right? That's during regular hours. So how do you regulate that? Well, this is a step in the right direction, but don't confuse the two issues. Teenage congregation, bad behavior, shooting incident are actually two different things.
Because this happened in light of July 4th, that I think it's misunderstood that the reason we're going to this curfew is specifically because of the shooting incident, the senseless act. That is not the case. What happened previous to that act, which is having our officers identify 12 and 13-year-olds that are out on 4th of July unattended after 11 o'clock, after midnight. So I see why people are trying to combine these two, because the thing that's very notable was, of course, this senseless shooting. But there were other more minor yet disturbing ideas that we have, middle school age kids out on their own. And causing issues for our officers and to be able to protect our.
And remember, first response here is not to find them. First response is to collect them, take them to the police station, call mom and dad, issue a warning. It's subsequent incidents. And again, it's not necessarily connected, and it's really not intended to be connected to, adult, though teenager, but adult involvement in a shooting.
So, So this is not in reaction. If someone says, well, wait, you know, many of the people that were involved that have been named in the shooting incident are above 17. Well, that's wise, because then you're congealing two different things. And so I like to decouple the idea of the shooting and this being a knee-jerk reaction to the shooting.
Right. I totally agree with that. That's exactly right. We need to think about these two things as separate issues. So it's an interesting ordinance. It has elements to it that I did not exactly expect, but I can see the reason for them. Somebody says the business about entertainment venues or about, you know, recreational venues might be about the fair. Oh, that makes sense. Okay, I see that, and that's the point. Although, I mean, granted, the fair's in the county, but traveling to and from the city to go to the fair, that makes sense to me. So the other, and this is it's just because my brain works this way, I don't know specifically on the parental violation if it's each individual kid separately or if, like, you're a parent of two kids who are both juveniles who both get involved in bad behavior or just out without your supervision. You know, like, if kid A, you know, John, goes out and does a problem, well, the penalty for him is warning 100, 250. And if your daughter, Mary, is out, it's warning 100, 250. So I don't know if, like, the both of them are out and they get warnings and then the both of them are out again, does the parent escalate because it's, like, four incidents? I just don't know how that's going to be counted. Is it, like, a per kid per parent? Or is it, like, you're a parent, so this is your third warning for, even though it's three different kids? Details, but, you know, maybe they become an issue. I just have the question. 720 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Again, that's going to come up next week, city council meeting, so I'm sure we're going to have a lot of conversation about that. Let's see. What was the other thing? Oh, yeah. If you need to get a new roof, you need to replace or repair a roof. We did traffic, right, PJ?
Yes, we did.
Okay. I sometimes forget. As I'm giving you the weird look, I'm like, did we do it? Okay, I want to make sure. If you need to replace your roof, repair your roof, or you're not sure what you need to do, Quality Roofing Solutions is there for you. Brian Ward basically thought to himself, I would like to do good work in this field. A lot of people feel like, you know, when roofers kind of come, it's like, I don't know, can I trust him or whatever? Well, he founded this company in 2006, and they have done 10,000 roofs in our area. And when they were first had come to us as for me to do ads for them, I didn't know anything about them. So I asked my wife, you know, do you know anything about these folks? She's like, well, I'll tell you this. On Nextdoor, which she's much more active on Nextdoor, I'm barely ever. And she said on Nextdoor, whenever people ask for a recommendation, they usually give two or three. They are always on this list. The others come in, go, and rotate in, but Quality Roofing Solutions is always on this list. I thought that's a good mark. 4.9 rated on Google. Outstanding, Mark. And I got to know them and talk to them about their kind of their philosophy of saving money and talking to people about, you know, this is what's going on and this is what we think, but it's your choice ultimately. And here's how we might be able to save you money. And, you know, we're just going to treat you like people. We're not going to treat you like you're dumb for not knowing or for asking questions. We're going to make sure that you know what's going on. We're going to answer your phone calls. I mean, like all that kind of stuff. I thought, hey, this is exactly the kind of company that I want to work with, because they treat people like people and they give you a good product. I had a good friend who started, you know, she needed a roof. And so she called them and a couple of others, compared them. They were not the cheapest. They were not the most expensive by far, but she thought they seem like they're going to do the work they're supposed to do. And Andrew always talks about them. So they did the work and did fantastic. Like three or four other people on her street got roofs because of that. So they're a very, very good company. Again, you can count on them. They will warranty their work for the lifetime for workmanship, which is unheard of in the industry. 777-0961, qualityroofingsolutions.com.
Here's today's strength for life.
Excuses are destroying your success. Luke 14 records the devastating effects of being an excuse maker. One man said that he couldn't attend the master's supper because he had to prove oxen, while another said he had purchased land that he must go see. Yet a third man had just married a wife and therefore he couldn't attend. Their excuses were cloaked in half-truths, nonsense, and self-will. As a result, the master invited the poor, halt, lame, and blind to his dinner. The self-willed people rejected the supper, but the desperate-hearted people received the supper. In the seats of the original invitees sat poor, halt, lame, and blind. If excuse makers don't want to enjoy the benefits that God provides, someone else will. You can choose your excuses, but you don't get to choose the consequences. So beware of being an excuse maker.
For more Strength for Life, check out our website at strengthforlife.church.
Santa Rosa County voters, meet the candidates before you cast your ballot. Gulf Breeze News hosts a free candidate forum Tuesday at the Gulf Breeze Middle School cafeteria. Doors open at 5:30 for voters to meet the candidates. The forum begins at 6. Candidates for Congress, the Florida House, County Commission, and School Board have been invited. Doors at 5:30, meet the candidates, and the forum starts at 6. Free admission. Get informed with Gulf Breeze News at the Gulf Breeze Middle School cafeteria starting at 5:30 Tuesday night.
Each Sunday at 7:30 a.m., the Bible Baptist Bookstore of Pensacola, Florida, brings you Theological Seminar with teacher Peter S. Ruckman, founder and president of the Pensacola Bible Institute. He will teach you what the Bible says about the subject, not merely what it is presumed to teach.
Tune in this Sunday at 7:30 a.m. for Theological Seminar with Dr. Peter S. Ruckman, brought to you by Bible Baptist Bookstore on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hi, this is Mike Kohler, your District 2 Commissioner seeking re-election. As a retired Navy captain with 33 years of naval service, I'll continue fighting to preserve our communities, manage taxpayer dollars responsibly, and oppose wasteful spending. As your commissioner, you can continue to count on me to be a strong advocate for public safety. I respectfully request your vote. Please vote Mike Kohler on August 18th.
Paid for and approved political ad by Mike Kohler for County Commissioner, Republican District 2.
When storms pop up fast, it helps to already know where to go.
We've got all the details.
News Radio 92.3.
92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Excuse me. I have to go. Somewhere there is a crime happening.
Oh, somebody raised an interesting question. Maybe it's not as interesting as I think, but they said, is it for one parent or both parents? What if the parents are divorced? I assume it's whoever's supposed to have custody at that time, but if it's, yeah, I mean, I'm assuming the fine is for the family? Yeah, no, I mean, just interesting, weird little detail, you know, which parent actually gets the citation, and then, you know, what if, does mom get a warning and then dad gets a fine on the second one? I mean, you know, a good question. I don't know. I don't assume those details will really wind up mattering a lot in the long run, but it's, you know, that's how my philosopher's brain, I always like those odd questions. PJ has traffic on the fives.
Still
PJ?
Still have a vehicle crash with injuries, Dog Track Road at Alleran Avenue. Unknown roadblock associated with that one, so just use caution. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. President Trump is commenting on Michigan's new Democratic nominee for the U.S. Senate. Apparently, he doesn't like him that much. He says that Al-Sayed doesn't like Jewish people and hates Israel. He said that during an address Wednesday in Las Vegas. Iran commenting on the lack of negotiations or negotiations, whichever way you believe it, apparently. They say the U.S. is ready to return to commitments, but they are still denying that there's actually talks taking place. So I don't know what that really means.
You may notice I don't talk an awful lot about the negotiations, the non-negotiations, the threats and rumors of negotiations, because, I don't know that any of it's news until it's done.
You're right. Absolutely.
We've had a lot of, you know, well, I heard it on social media, you know, which is Trump. Like, so I, okay. I mean, you know, call me when there's a deal signed, right? That's kind of been my
Absolutely.
Thinking about this.
And the only real news item I have, Rihanna's making music again.
Oh, real news. All right.
Yep. Well, at least according to ASAP Rocky.
Go on. Noted journalist ASAP Rocky.
A dollar sign, ASAP Rocky. he was on the Jason Lee show.
I believe that when you say dollar sign, you don't have to pronounce the S. So it's a dollar sign ASAP Rocky.
That makes sense in a weird way. he says that the rapper dismissed rumors that the couple's family was keeping the Grammy winner out of the studio.
You all right?
No, I'm not. But he said
the Grammy Wimmer.
Yeah. He said he's gonna get in trouble for leaking the news that she's back in the studio. That's all I got. I'm
Yeah.
This has been a whimmer of a newscast. That's all I got to say.
Best ever. David, thanks so much for the update. Oh, actually, you know what? Since I have you, stick with me for a second.
Absolutely.
I don't know if you heard me earlier or if you had seen the news. Did you know that there's going to be a Gulf War monument in D.C.?
Really?
Yeah. I assume it's being installed now, but the official unveiling is October 24th, I believe that it is. And so I had not realized. You're, of course, a Gulf War veteran, right? Or were you? No, you were in Iraq later.
Iraq later.
Okay.
I was OIF.
So 700,000 people served in Desert Storm and Desert Shield. I didn't know the number was that high, but, I mean, it sort of makes sense. We lost 300 in that conflict. And it gets lost conceptually between Vietnam and the War on Terror. And people tend to think, I mean, I just kind of made the same mistake. I was thinking about it, and I lumped you into that. People think it's like part of the War on Terror, sort of. I mean, time-wise, it can't be for 1991, but, you know.
Yeah, it's a different, you know, different time-wise, way different, but a lot of the same, you know. A lot of the same things.
Here's what I particularly thought was interesting about this. Of course, that was the war to liberate Iraq and then to take care of Saddam Hussein, right, which, you know, led to a lot of other things. But the liberating Iraq, the cost of the thing is $40 million. Kuwait paid $25 million to have it done as a thank you, which I think is fantastic. And all the money is raised by private sources. There's no government money from us involved in it. So anyway, it's great. It's going to be on the mall. It's going to be, you know, or in D.C., near the mall, near the veterans, Vietnam Veterans Monument. I'm curious to see what it looks like. I think some of the stuff has a shield involved in it. Desert Shield makes sense. Right. So anyway, I just thought that was
It'd be neat to see that one when it's when it's done.
Good note. I'm glad to see it coming to fruition because that is a conflict that a lot of people think maybe it either gets lumped in with the War on Terror. They think it was over in 2 days or something like that.
News, I'm CJ Papa. A Senate committee expected to soon vote on whether to hold Dr. Anthony Fauci in contempt of Congress.
Republicans on the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee say Dr. Fauci had no right to invoke the Fifth Amendment given his preemptive pardon from former President Biden. The pardon, though, covers actions before 2025, so Fauci invoked the Fifth more than 100 times, accusing Chairman Rand Paul of having a vendetta against him.
Ron says it's nearing a final agreement with Oman on an acceptable route for ships to pass through the Strait of Hormuz in Japan. Mokuto! The nation marks 81 years since the U.S. dropped the atomic bomb destroying Hiroshima, killing 140,000 people. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31. 78 degrees. We've got partly cloudy skies. Your full forecast from Channel 3 up in just a few minutes. A 38-year-old Pensacola man has been arrested in relation to last week's murder at the Quality Inn on Pensacola Boulevard. Mario Wiggins is charged with murder. Deputies say surveillance footage showed him leaving the hotel hallway with the victim's gold chain. Investigators say Wiggins was wearing the same necklace when they spoke with him. The victim was found dead with a gunshot wound to the head last Thursday. Wiggins is being held with no bond. Later this morning, Escambia County Commissioners will consider a $50,000 reimbursement for a program that helps homeless individuals relocate to areas where they may have more support. Real Change Project Reconnect runs through Ministry Village at Olive. It's helped more than 500 people so far move since 2024, offering free bus tickets to those with verified family, jobs, or resources that are waiting for them elsewhere. Officials estimate the program may have saved taxpayers up to $18 million already. An antitrust exemption could be coming to statewide universities. It targets seven proposals.
Florida's university system is pushing Congress for a limited antitrust exemption so the NC2A can set salary caps and tighten transfer and eligibility rules. A statewide task force advanced seven proposals, including stronger NIL protections, financial literacy training for athletes, and caps on agents' commissions. Members rejected ideas that would raise ticket or concession fees, saying they won't support anything resembling a tax increase. All recommendations still need approval from the Board of Trustees. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
Thank you, Chris. Assistant Professor Lauren Adloff has watched artificial intelligence take over classrooms at the University of West Florida in the last few years.
It has grown exponentially since I've been here, since we've kind of realized students are using it and faculty and staff are using it.
Adloff tells Channel 3 she's part of UWF's new AI Task Force, a group of faculty and staff that are studying just how that tech can be used to teach and not just stop students from cheating with it. UWF says it doesn't track how often AI cheating comes up on campus. Escambia County's wrapped up another successful year of its Play, Learn, and Grow summer camp. With more than 475 kids taking part in that program. It's a 7-week program that's run at 4 community centers. They offer games, arts and crafts, and educational activities, along with meals through Feeding the Gulf Coast. Commissioner Lumen May tells Channel, says that that program keeps growing each year. The county's after school program kicks off August 17th with registration now open. The 1877 tall ship Elissa is docking at Palafox Pier later this morning near Plaza de Luna. It'll be there through Sunday. First Mate Seth Leo says, you're welcome to come aboard and experience a piece of living maritime history. Free tours start tomorrow.
Free tour hours starting Friday morning, 9 to 12. We'll have people being able to come aboard. And then we'll have our sail in the afternoon. That's from 2 to 6 p.m. That's a paid event. They can go to galveston250.com to get tickets. And then Saturday and Sunday from 11 to 5 will be open to the public. Those are free tours. Bring the family down. Check out the ship. It's really a unique piece of history that's still actively sailed.
And the Elissa is one of only three ships of her kind in the world that are still actively sailing. And it was going through the pass here not long ago, probably in Pensacola Bay right now. So you can see that. It'll be downtown again, mooring here in the next couple of hours. 7:35 here at News Radio. Let's check in with PJ, who's got our traffic on the fives.
Traffic is brought to you by ECUA, making service easier with the new My ECUA mobile app available to download now. Pay your bill, report service issues, alerts, and recycling tips. Take a look at the big board. Still have that vehicle crash North Cross Lane and North Davis Highway. No roadblock associated with that one. I'm PG with the traffic on the fives.
We are going to have a small 20% chance of rain today. Otherwise, mostly sunny skies, high near 89 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 77. For Friday, mostly sunny skies with a 20% chance of rain, high near 89. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 78. Heading into Saturday, a very similar pattern with a 20% chance of rain, high near 90 degrees. And Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 77. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
78 degrees, partly cloudy skies. Your next news in 30 minutes and breaking news anytime.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Federal Reserve Governor Lisa Cook said during a speech in Alaska that she's ready to support an interest rate hike unless the inflation numbers improve. She said, quote, inflation is too high, and I consider the risks to the inflation side of the mandate higher than the risks to the employment side at this point. Elf Beauty has received around $50 million in tariff refunds, leading its net income to surge by nearly 100%. CNBC reports, however, that the impact is expected to be a one-time blip and not something investors can continue to expect moving forward as refunds run dry. Elf said it's planning to reinvest the tariff refunds into marketing and lowering prices on about 10% of its assortments. Etsy said it is laying off about 220 employees, or roughly 12% of its workforce, as the online marketplace looks to simplify its organizational structure. A company spokesperson said most of the cuts will impact Etsy's product and engineering teams, and AI was not a factor. Futures are mixed. That's Your Money Now.
Hello, I'm Colonel Eric W. Shorter, and I'm running for mayor. I'm a true son of Pensacola and a product of multiple generations of public servants. My goals are simple. Vertical economic initiatives, jobs, 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 affordability and housing, neighborhood revitalization, and education reformation. Citywide opportunity is possible, and I'm not guessing. Vote for the positive choice, Colonel Eric W. Shorter, for mayor of Pensacola.
Paid and approved by Colonel Eric Shorter, candidate for mayor of Pensacola.
Tune into Transcending the Money Myth, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than just investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Transcending the Money Myth, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sunday at 1 p.m. Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC, registered advisors.
Hey there, homebuyers and sellers. I'm Will.
And I'm Angela.
With Cannell and Company Realty,
your dynamic real estate duo.
We're not just realtors, we're real estate MVPs. With a game plan tailored to your needs, we'll score you the home of your dreams.
Whether it's finding the perfect starter home or selling to upgrade, your goals are our goals, and we'll make sure you come out on top.
Angela Sherrill, 850-292-3165.
Will Maven, 850-261-7020 or at willmaven.com.
I'm Erin Eiswanger, Republican candidate for Santa Rosa County Commission District 2. I will make sure you, the people, are heard, and the county commissioners work for we, the people, not the developers, special interests, or the political class. I'll work tirelessly to fix our infrastructure, stop irresponsible growth, and grow our economy. I'm Erin Eiswanger, and I'd be honored to have your vote on August 18th. Santa Rosa County will be stronger with Eiswanger.
Paid for and approved by Erin Eiswanger, Republican, Santa Rosa County, District 2.
Barkley, Van Camp, and Robbins. They take the biggest stories of the day, cut through the nonsense, and say the quiet part out loud.
The rebuilding process is already well underway in Iran.
Yeah.
I don't know. Everybody's looking for an exit strategy right now, though. I don't know what's going on. All I know is somebody has had it with Arabic music.
That was a good transition, man.
Had it.
MVR, weekdays 11 till 2 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Great to have you with us this morning. On the phone is Mike Wood, the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, welcome back, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. So the big news incident that took place, I think it was yesterday, is you guys were investigating a very unusual shooting in Pensacola Village there at Davis and Fairfield, right?
Yeah, so what the confusion seems to be, it was a shooting. It was a single shot fired at Pensacola Village. The round, when it hit a concrete or brick or whatever it was, there were several juveniles standing very close to that. And when a bullet hits concrete or something else that's hard, it's going to go into a lot of pieces, and so is the concrete or the structure that it hit. And that is what injured those juveniles. None of them were struck by the bullet itself. All the injuries were minor, and that case is still progressing, and we hope to have an arrest very soon.
Okay, so it was one bullet. It did not hit any of the four juveniles, but the concrete that got damaged was shrapnel, essentially, and the concrete affected them. I thought, didn't one or two of them wind up in the hospital?
I don't know if they stayed. I know that there were three that went to the hospital for treatment. There was a fourth that was discovered in an apartment at Pensacola Village that did end up getting treatment as well. But I don't know if any of them were stayed overnight, if that's what you're asking.
Well, I'm just trying to get a sense of, look, a bullet flying by a juvenile, I care about that on its own. But, you know, the injuries, it's hard for me to imagine the injuries being more than basically scrapes from, you know, or I mean, if it got in somebody's eye, I could see that be an issue, but I'm trying to get a grasp on how serious the injuries were, and it's hard for me to make sense of them being all that serious to justify a hospital trip, but you tell me.
Well, I mean, anytime if I'm a parent and my child is near a bullet or shooting and comes home bleeding, then that's the first thing I'm going to do as well. And I think that's what's happened, which is exactly what you should do.
Okay.
And let the medical professionals decide how serious it is. But what I'm told on the injuries, none of them were even close to life-threatening. So that's the great news about this. The bad news is another shot was fired. So we're taking care of that end of it as well.
At this point, does it look to be random, targeted, don't know, can't say?
Don't know.
Okay.
We'll say, just don't know at this point.
Well, and I mean, I know sometimes you know and can't say for, you know, investigatory reasons, so it doesn't bother me. The other thing is, and I just want, you had put up a very interesting post on your Facebook page where you know, As you know, as we all know, social media does not always get 100% of the facts 100% of the time. And in this case, the reports were, did you see the 10 people that got killed in Pensacola Village with a single shot the other night? Or something like that? Is that right?
Andrew, this is what keeps me up at night. It makes me pull out what hair I have left when I read things like that. It is so, and people lock onto it. That's a lot of young people in the community look to social media to get their information, and it is so wrong. So the only thing that we can do is exactly what we've been doing, and that's why I sent out those text alerts to you guys the second something's going on and give you what information I do have to set the record straight, to hopefully you guys will get it out. We will get it out on our social media. Chief Winstrom has come in and made some changes to our social media, mostly our Facebook page, to make sure information is put out quicker so that people know where to go to get the information. So go to reputable news sources. Go to our Facebook page. Go to our X or Twitter or our X now. And we will get you that information a lot faster and more accurate.
What? How much of your time? I know that scouring social media for investigatory purposes is actually super useful for the police, but social media, how much of your time is spent combating, responding to, fixing the problems created by the errors and shares on social media?
Well, a lot of it is spent monitoring. I've got what's called TweetDeck in my office, where I'm looking all the time at information that's coming through about our comments on what we are doing, and that's all that we can control. And if I see something that looks like it's going to grow legs and take off, and in other words, get very popular and start getting lots of clicks, then that's something that we will respond to. We're not going to respond to people, they talk bad about us. We're the police. We understand that. We're going to get that. We're not too worried about that. But when somebody puts out information that 10 people were killed at Pensacola Village or any place else, when that's not even close to the truth, then that's something we will absolutely respond to very quickly.
All right. So, very good. Mike Wood is the public information officer of PPD. Hang on for just a second, Mike. We've got traffic on the fives with PJ.
Thanks, Andrew. There is a vehicle crash with injuries, Dog Track Road at Alaron Avenue. They've been working on that one for a while. There's a roadblock associated with that, so just use caution. Also have a vehicle crash North Cross Lane at North Davis Highway. No roadblock there. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. Back to Mike Wood with the Pensacola Police Department. National Night Out was yesterday, last week? Now all of a sudden I just cannot remember. When was it?
It was Tuesday.
Tuesday. Okay. And at Washington High?
Yeah, great weather, good turnout, lots of vehicles and personnel out there to get us closer to the community. That's what it's for. That's why it was created years and years ago, and it went nationwide. And it's a great event for people to come out and be able to see our toys and meet us, and us meet them as well, and answer any questions that they have.
The proposed curfew ordinance that the mayor is bringing to bear next week, city council is going to vote on it next Thursday for first reading and then second reading. Assuming that it passes, what is the anticipated enforcement plan? It already contains warnings as part of the enforcement. Do you guys plan to do a soft 30-day information campaign like you often do? Do you have a plan for implementation at this point?
Yeah, we want to see how this lands. We want to see how it's going to be worded when it passes. If it passes, we want to make sure all of that is in place. And once it is, then we will start the education part of it. And that's how we always like to do something new, is educate the public and make sure everybody understands what the new law or ordinance is, and then go that way. And after education, then warnings come, and then enforcement after that. And, everybody always says that, why don't you guys do something? You got to do something. Well, the mayor and the city of Pensacola are doing just that, because even though that this people think that this stems from the shooting on the 4th of July, that's not exactly right. There were incidences before that at the mall and other places where juveniles are involved, and mostly it's during the summer when school is out. So that is what they are doing, or we are doing, is something about it to hopefully make sure that things, or do our very best to make sure things don't happen in the future that could be just horrible, with horrible outcomes.
You know, the more I think about this ordinance and the way it's written, specifically that it's 11 to 5 on weeknights and 12 to 6 on Friday and Saturday, going over into Saturday and Sunday, or starting, midnight on Saturday into early morning. Anyway, I wonder if the ordinance does enough in terms of the time frame. And here's what I'm thinking. The young people who were out on the 4th of July, it was before midnight, unless I'm wrong. I don't think that was after midnight, but you tell me. The Cordova Mall was obviously during business hours, so that wasn't late at night even. Does it deal with them early enough in the day? It doesn't seem like a lot of these things are happening at 1 a.m., but you tell me.
No, it's mostly happening late.
Oh, it is.
So
okay.
We have to start somewhere, and we're going to go start with what we have here, and maybe it has to be adjusted in the future, but we've got to start someplace, and this seems to be a good point to begin this and see how it goes. And again, everything can be adjusted later on if we need to do that.
Are you comfortable? And I know it's not your policy, it's City Council's policy, and I know you don't get to make it, they get to vote on it, and it could land anywhere, but though I understand the exemptions and exceptions, there's a part of me that worries that obviously exceptions get twisted for the wrong purposes. Like, you know, it's got an exception for work, which is good. It's got an exception for, you know, religious and other First Amendment activity. I mean, what if juveniles are attending some protest at 2 a.m. or they call it a protest rave? Like, are you comfortable that you guys are still going to be able to enforce it effectively given some of those exemptions?
Well, we'll see. Every case is different. I'm glad there are exemptions because there are people, put it like this, the ones that are causing problems, they make themselves known very easily.
Okay.
And they're usually not doing any of those, you know, they're not driving someone to the hospital or participating in an activity, an organized activity. It's usually just chaos. And it's easy for us to identify those people, and then we can use this new tool that we have to hopefully prevent that or stop it. And it's the juveniles that are out after hours that are not causing any problems. They're just not on our radar. We don't see them. But like I said, the ones that do, that cause issues are easy for us to spot, and then we can do what we have to do.
And I suppose this would also cover, you know, for example, the roving groups or gangs of 13 and 14 and 15-year-olds that are trying car doors, and, you know, you don't have any real enforcement mechanism against them right now, but this would give it to you if they're doing that during the dark, right?
That's exactly right. That's why it's citywide. It's not one specific area, because problems can happen anywhere in the city, and they have. And this is one thing that will help us if we see somebody walking down 12th Avenue at 3 o'clock in the morning, mm-hmm. A couple of juveniles, and this is a tool that we can use.
And also, as you mentioned, the ones who were throwing, you know, mortar fireworks at each other on Palafox as a part of a game were not likely the same ones that would have been having the 2 a.m. impromptu Bible revival on the street.
So we don't... Most likely. I mean, yeah, that's,
you never know.
Putting it out there, but that's probably not going to be the same person. And, you know, you have to understand, and again, the shooting came up, keeps coming up about this, and that it was an adult. But an hour before the shooting, Chief Winstrom himself got into a foot pursuit with a juvenile that was firing these mortar-type fireworks. And when he caught him, he had a gun in his waistband. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot going on before this shooting happened as to why that we need a curfew like this.
Very good. One thing, I'm going to share this with you, and you can react however you want to react, but I thought it was interesting. I like when people put two different ideas together in a way I hadn't considered before. Obviously, there's been a lot of conversation about the flock cameras, and certain people are very uncomfortable about them or unhappy about them or whatever. And somebody said, but aren't these folks some of the same ones that have been so defending the public's right to video everything everywhere all the time, including law enforcement officers and the First Amendment auditors? So they want everybody to be able to have cameras all the time everywhere, just not the police?
Yeah, if you see somebody, and we've had some First Amendment auditors and things like that, and if you see them in a city council meeting going against flock, it kind of makes you scratch your head. This is something that it's still new. We understand it's been misused all over the country, but it has not been misused in Pensacola, Florida. So give us a shot. Let us fight crime with these things. And if it's misused in Pensacola, Florida, then we have an issue. But until that happens, it's a great tool. It's saving lives. It's getting property back. It's preventing crimes. And we're all for it.
And as you know, I mean, I have my concerns about all of this kind of stuff. But at the same time, the folks bring up these exceptions of, you know, well, this cop misused it over here, or this person misused it over there. And I think, yeah, and how do we know about that? Because they have rules, they broke the rules, they suffer penalties. That sounds like the system working, not the system not working. So my take anyway.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And there's going to be audits. We can't just go in and look at a tag without a case number backing it up. We can't just randomly look for a tag. That's just, there's going to be checks and balances and audits and to make sure that that system is not misused, because the officers that do misuse it, they need to lose their jobs. They need to lose their pensions. They need to go to jail. And that's all there is to it. So you're going to have people misusing things that there's going to be consequences for it, as there should be.
And also be very cautious judging the whole on the basis of a few bad actors, a few bad behaviors. That's always a bad policy, logically speaking. Myth or cop, did you know? We always like to end with one. Do you have one for me this week?
Yeah, I was asked about this a couple weeks ago and forgot about it, but how can officers who are working off duty have any police power? And that's a very simple one to answer. The moment an officer is sworn in, they have police powers, they have arrest powers. They don't have to be on a certain clock. But with the good thing about working off duty is it not only does it benefit the officer financially, but the person that hired them or the company that hired them, they have an officer on the site that does not have to leave if they get a call. It benefits the city and the Pensacola Police Department because it keeps our number one line, which is the patrol officers, free to go answer calls. They don't get tied up with a disturbance at a bar downtown. That's what the off-duty officer is there for. So the officers do have the power of arrest and can do anything that they normally do while they're working off-duty.
The powers to be a police officer or a sheriff's deputy do not flow from the time clock stamp. They flow from the oath and the badge.
Yeah, that's it.
Very good. Did you ever, with your kids, ever threaten you'd have to arrest them because you can do that even though they're your dad? You're the dad?
Well, I'd have to pay the fine, so I don't want to do that unless I have to. But smart. Yeah, it's been threatened. I keep telling my son every time he wants to box around with me or slap box, if you hit me, it's a felony. You're not going to be able to vote anymore. So, and it used to work. It doesn't work anymore.
Taking away the right to vote does seem like a bit of a nerd threat, though. But I'll give you credit for it. That's okay.
Not to him. Yeah, it means a lot to him. So,
okay.
So it kind of works.
It's like Anthony Michael Hall in The Breakfast Club. Why do you have a fake ID? So I can vote, obviously. Mike Wood, he is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. As always, Mike, thank you so much for the time. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you.
7:55, PJ has traffic for us.
Still working that vehicle crash with injuries. Dog Track Road at Laren Avenue. Roadblock associated with that one. I'm PJ through traffic on the fives.
If you have any kind of a home improvement project, a construction project, a remodel, a build, a repair, or, you know, you just need a hammer, Pensacola Hardware is your place. They've got great quality stuff. It will last you a long time. It's going to be good prices, and they have outstanding information, guidance, counseling. They can help you solve problems. I mean, really, they live that lifestyle of understanding your stuff and helping you fix it for 175 years, the oldest business in all of Florida, 1851. It's crazy how long they have been around helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola. Also, a great place to go shopping for gifts for yourself, for somebody else, you know, gumbo pots and cookware and grills and knives and cast iron skillets and all, and, you know, Yeti merchandise, like all of that stuff. They have a great place to go shopping either for the hardware or for the housewares. Pensacola Hardware, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street.
Hi, this is DC Reeves. Together, we are moving Pensacola in the right direction. My priorities are building a healthy economy with good careers and keeping our community safe. I will always support our small businesses and back the blue. Let's keep working as a team to move Pensacola forward. I'm DC Reeves, and I'd be honored to have your vote on August 18th.
DC Reeves is endorsed by Sheriff Chip Simmons and the Fraternal Order of Police. Paid for by DC Reeves for Mayor.
You're still glowing, flirting, grooving. You've still got it. But your immune system weakens as you age, making it harder to fight illnesses like pneumococcal pneumonia and RSV. Vaccines are a key part of any health routine and can help protect you from getting really sick. Ask your doctor or pharmacist which vaccines you need. See more at PfizerForAll.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Four years ago, Kerry Smith made three promises: roads before development, fair impact fees, and rewriting our land development code. He's kept every single one. Kerry steered $60 million in roadway capacity projects, breaking ground this summer. Kerry alone championed impact fees so new growth pays its fair share. Rewrote the land development code twice to protect our neighborhoods from flooding. Kerry continues to work with FDOT to four-lane Highway 90 through downtown Milton. Promises made, promises kept. Political advertisement paid for and approved by Kerry Smith, Republican for Santa Rosa County Commissioner, District 2.
Getting you up to date as you head to work. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Good morning, 7:58 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. President Trump is commenting on Michigan's Democratic nominee for the U.S. Senate. He gave an address Wednesday in Las Vegas and predicted that Abdul al-Sayed will lose in the November election.
Well, he's been right 100% so far on election predictions. Future and past.
That's right. Some containment has finally been made to the wildfires burning near Spokane, Washington. Officials say two of those fires are now 13% contained. One is 5% contained, and they're making steady progress with the cooler weather there. And Lindsay Clancy, is getting support from her former nanny. The Massachusetts woman has admitted to killing her three young children and is pleading not guilty to first-degree murder on the grounds that postpartum psychosis made her not criminally responsible.
All right, David, thank you so much for the update. Oh, interesting small note of sorts. You know, Florida over the last couple of years has passed a bunch of laws that are somewhat controversial dealing with First Amendment type issues, whether it's the, you know, woke stuff in the colleges or the ban on children attending drag shows. A full appeals court has now ruled that that ban is constitutional. That seems like a fairly simple one to me, because if you're talking about nudity or sexual simulation in a drag show, then kids shouldn't be there.
Local Talk in the Morning, 5 to 9 with Andrew McKay is on News Radio 92.3.